Welcome to the True North Community Church Podcast.
All right, so we're wrapping up our message series in the book of Ephesians, and if you've been with us the whole time, if you started this journey with us 7 weeks ago, we've picked up a few things along the way. And it's my hope that if you grow to be old and gray, sitting on your porch someday, sipping a lemonade, and somebody starts talking to you about the book of Ephesians, it's my hope that in that moment, even years from now, you'll remember that you're adopted into God's family. That you're not a fake cousin or a fake uncle, but you really are a true son or daughter of God. That therefore, because we are adopted, we have no platform from which to judge one another. That we're all invited to go deeper and to live a life worthy of our calling, an outward bound life. And so we're kind of wrapping things up today. Paul is bringing the plane in for a landing. He's been talking to the church in Ephesus. He knew that letter was going to get circulated to lots of other churches. He probably didn't know that 2,000 years from then we'd be on Long Island reading one of his letters. But here we are listening to the word of God. And so this stuff applies to us too. And as Paul brings it in for a landing, he's reminding all of his readers and reminding us, if you take this on, if you look to live an outward bound life, if you seek to live a life worthy of your calling, there's going to be opposition. It's not going to be easy every day to do this. In fact, some of you have already seen that, right? You want to live an outward bound life, it's not necessarily going to be easy. It will always be worth it, but it's not necessarily going to be easy. So Paul wraps things up in his letter right here at Ephesians. He begins to wrap things up in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and we're going to take one verse, one quick verse. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? I mean, that sounds like jargon, right? That sounds like Christianese, you know? Be strong in the Lord. Just go ahead, have a great week, be strong in the Lord. What does that even mean, you know? If somebody said to you, hey, feeling strong in the Lord? You know, you'd go, yes? Like, you wouldn't know what to say, right? You know, we don't really know what that means, right? So humility dictates that we say, no, I'm not, but we don't. So here's what being strong in the Lord means. It means you know that you have a source of strength outside of yourself to tap into. Being strong in the Lord means you've got somebody outside of yourself that when you're in trouble, when you're struggling, when you're wrestling with something, the Lord is there to help you. You don't have to go it alone. You don't have to pretend that you got it all covered. You don't have to walk through life acting as if you've got it all under control. And I know you like to pretend like you got it all under control, but you don't. That was an awkward laugh, right? Because you know. We all tend to do that. Let me illustrate this. A few Christmases ago, somebody gave my kids a little play croquet set. You know what croquet is? Croquet is that game you see rich people playing in the movies sometimes, you know, with a little mallet and the little balls and a thing. So there's a post that is the goal. You're supposed to navigate the ball through these little gates and then you get to the hit post, right? So there's this 2 foot long wooden thing with stripes on it. And my son was outside in the backyard playing by himself and he thought it would be funny if he took the mallet and drove that 2 foot wooden stake so far into the ground that only this much of it was sticking up. So he's whacking away on this thing and I'm like, whatever. And see, you know, it's this much of it is sticking out of the ground. And like 2 days later, I tripped on it. And I wasn't happy. So I'm like, what? Oh, you gotta be kidding me. So I'm like, Timmy, come on out. And Timmy's like, yeah, check it out, Dad. I pounded that thing. And I'm like, yeah, you did a great job. Now pull it out. And he goes, oh. And this thing is 2 feet long and it's in there. And he's like, I'm like, you put it in there, right? He goes, yeah, so you got to get it out. That's the rules. So he bends down. He's all like, he's making all the noises, you know. Finally looks at me and goes, Dad, I can't. I said, I'm really sorry, but you put it in there. You got to get it out. I mean, people would trip on that, the lawnmower won't run it over. I mean, this is no good. This is going to be bad all summer. You can't just stay here like this. What do I do? I'm like, keep trying. Finally, I was like, Dad, I can't. I'm like, well, okay, let's think. Think for a minute. What resources do you have at your disposal? He goes, what's a resource? I said, well, a resource is like something you can use to help you. Oh, like a tool? I said, yeah, maybe. Okay, so now he's thinking, what could I use to get this thing loose? So he goes in the garage and he comes out with like a trowel and some gardening tools and he gets down on it and he starts scraping the ground with that claw thing. You know, I don't know what that's for, but you know, he's you know, he's working the ground, and he clears a little bit, and he gets, this thing is not coming out. I mean, it's just, and finally he's getting frustrated. Now he knows I'm just messing with him. So he's like, Dad, I'm not moving this thing. Like, I can't get it out of the ground. I'm like, son, I'm really sorry. You have to move it. Like, this is your job. And now he's getting frustrated. He tries two or three more times, and now I see tears forming in his eyes. I know, I'm horrible. So I said to him, are you done? He goes, Dad, I can't do it. I know I got myself into this, but I can't do it. And I said, you didn't use every resource at your disposal. He said, what do you mean? I said to him, you never asked me for help. I've been standing here the whole time, and you could have asked me. I've been watching you struggle with this for 15 minutes now, chipping away at that impossible project with a trowel. All you had to do is ask me for help. And I walked to the, I said, let me teach you about leverage. And I said, I'm fat, watch this. I grabbed a shovel, I stuck it in the ground, I went like this and loosened the bottom of it, and I said, now pull it. He goes, whoop, whipped it right out. And he said, thank you, Dad. And I said, yeah, buddy. And then I sat him down, I said, listen, there are going to be times in your life, and learn from this. There are going to be times in your life when you're pulling on something, you're trying to chip away at something impossible. And God is sitting there the whole time watching you struggle and struggle and struggle and weep and be frustrated. And all you need to do in that moment is to reach out and say, God, I need your help. That's what it means to be strong in the Lord. Simply that you know when to ask for help. Follow? Verse 11. Then put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Okay, so yeah, if you're new, you're like, what on earth is he talking about? Evil spirits, unseen world, what? Yeah, I know. If you're new, that's weird. Here's the deal. We actually do believe there's another world. We actually do believe there's a spirit world. We believe the devil is a real entity. We roundly reject the idea that he's a little guy with horns and a pitchfork and red pajamas because that's a caricature. But he is a real entity who would very much love to see you spend the rest of your life inward bound. Anybody here see The Matrix? Anybody in that movie, The Matrix, sci-fi movie with Neo, with Keanu Reeves? Three of you, really? Church, you're making me nervous. Go see The Matrix. Okay, so the devil would really prefer that you stay asleep in the matrix. The devil doesn't want you to wake up and start living an outward bound life. He would prefer very much for you to just be inward bound and suck resources into yourself and be all about you and eventually just collapse upon yourself like a black hole, right? What God is calling you to is to live an outward bound life. And when large numbers of people start living an outward bound life, when large numbers of people say, whoa, there's more to life than me, there's more to life than acquisition and entertainment, I could live my life to glorify God, I could live my life for a higher purpose, and people take that on, when large numbers of people start doing that, that's how revivals get started. That's how moves of the Holy Spirit start happening. So the enemy would really, really love to see you like squashed in that. And so there's going to be opposition. When Paul says put on the whole armor of God, you don't put on armor to go have a picnic. You put on armor because you're going to battle, right? And if you've tried this, like, I want to challenge you. Some of you, like, you've heard all 7 weeks of this thing now, and you're like, this sounds great, but you've never actually tried it. I want to challenge you. I'm going to throw this down today. Challenge you. Try just one day this week, one day. Try to live outward bound all day. Put others first and honor God, like, all day, and see how hard it is. It's not easy. You're going to be tempted at every turn. There will be opposition at every turn. Here's how you get through it. Here's how Paul leaves this letter to the church in Ephesus. For starters, verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Okay, so this is a simple teaching point, and it should be pretty obvious. What does a belt do? It's not a trick question. It keeps your pants up. Belt keeps your pants up. That's a good thing, because if your pants fall down, it's embarrassing, right? It's embarrassing. Tell the truth, and you won't be caught with your pants down. It's right there. It preaches itself, okay? The belt of truth will keep you from being embarrassed. You tell the truth, you won't ever have to be embarrassed. And put on, it says, the body armor of God's righteousness. Now, body armor, this is not medieval body armor. This is not like Middle Ages body armor where a suit of armor. This would be something that hooks over your shoulders and covers kind of all your vital organs. It would be made of leather or sometimes metal. But the key thing was that it protected your lungs and your heart. So the body armor of God's righteousness protects your heart. So what does that mean, body armor, God's righteousness? I mean, that's like another concept. The best way to talk about the body armor of God's righteousness is to talk about what it's not. The body armor of God's righteousness is the opposite of the body armor of self-righteousness. Now, we got lots of self-righteous Christians walking around, right? You know a few, don't you? It's awkward now because you're near one, but it's all right. You know, the tragic thing is they don't always know. So sometimes, self-righteous, Christians, we're great at this. We talked about it many times in the series. We build our little platforms and we feel we're in some way superior and, walk around just thinking things like, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've read the Bible cover to cover 6 times. Perfect attendance record at Sunday school. You should read my book, Humility, and How I Achieved It. I mean, come on, dude, really? Like, God is not impressed, okay? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Remember that? That's the point. That's deeper. That's how we go deeper. Remember, right? So we don't need any more self-righteousness. We need God's righteousness. What that means is that you are walking around in your day-to-day life, Monday through Sunday, living your life knowing that if there is anything righteous about you, if there's any holiness, if there's any goodness, anything good in you, it was imparted to you by the source of all that is righteous, who is Jesus Christ. So God imparts that on to you. You didn't generate that yourself. It's not the body armor of self-righteousness. It's the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes put on, this is verse 15. For shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Okay, the peace that comes from the good news. Well, what is that, right? If you're new, good news. Capital G, capital N, by the way, in the Bible, good news. That is the Greek word euangelion, which translators didn't always know how to bring across. It's the word that brings us our English word evangelist. The good news in this context in the Bible is simply the gospel. It's the idea that Jesus Christ has died for your sins and that now when you confess your sin here and now on Long Island in 2015, when you have a bad night or do some stuff you shouldn't have done, when you confess your sins to God, he lifts your guilt up off of you and he places it onto Jesus Christ, and he pays for your sin and you get to go free. That's the gospel message. That's the good news. So when Paul says, let me read it again directly. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. So put on, stand on this. This is what you're standing on. These are your shoes. The peace that comes from the good news. There's a peace that comes from knowing that your sins are forgiven. And some of you you don't have that peace. In fact, could we just be honest? We all lack peace at times, don't we? Would anybody here just love to crank up the peace level in their life a little bit? Like anybody, like a little stressed, we're a little stressed, we're a little crazy, we saw snow this morning and started twitching, right? So there's we would love to see a little more peace, in our life. And that comes from the good news. Hey, my sins are forgiven. I'm going to go to heaven someday. In heaven, there will only be snow when we want to go skiing, and that'll be it. Okay, so peace. And we lack peace because we worry, don't we? We lack peace because we worry. And we don't worry about the past. The past, we know about that. We don't worry about the present. The present is with us now. We worry about the future. We worry about what's to come. Let me ask you guys a question. You worriers in the room. What were you worried about 6 months ago? Answer, you don't remember. You don't remember what you were worried about 6 months ago. Unless you have a lengthy illness, unless you have an ongoing legal battle that's taking multiple years, that's a small percentage of you. Most of you, you were worried about something 6 months ago, but you don't remember it now. And that's because in the past 6 months, it resolved itself. And guess what? All the stuff you're worried about today is going to resolve itself in the next 6 months. And guess what? After that, there'll be something else to worry about. loved ones, between here and the grave, you will have trouble, you will have trial, you will have tribulation. These things are promised to you. We stand on the peace that comes from knowing the good news that our sins are forgiven and we're going to heaven someday and we don't need to worry. It means don't sweat the small stuff. With me, team? That's what Paul's trying to leave his loved ones with here. And then he says, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Okay, so now we're talking, right? Fiery arrows, combat, weapons, you know. Braveheart movie. Okay, fiery arrows. We can understand that. So there are things coming at you, right? You have an enemy who's firing at you. And how does he do that? Let's just say for a minute you're brand new to church and you don't really believe. You're not sure you believe in God and you definitely don't believe in the devil. And you're like, all this fiery arrow stuff sounds like hocus pocus to you. Here's how this works in your living life as you go through your week. The enemy comes to you and fires things at you in two primary forms, temptation and accusation. That's how he operates. Those are his two main weapons with you, temptation and accusation. You try to live an outward bound life, you will be tempted at every turn to go inward. You will be tempted every day to make it all about you. The wheel alignment of your car, you take your hands off the wheel. You ever have a car with bad wheel alignment? You have to counter steer just to keep it straight? It's like that with our soul. The wheel alignment of our soul pulls us towards selfishness. The minute we stop paying attention, we just kind of roll right into thinking about us and putting us at the center. Living an outward bound life requires something constant. It requires some vigilance. So you're going to be tempted at every turn to make it all about you, to fall into do something that's outside of God's will. And that'll be a moment when you center on you and it's what I want, what I'm missing out on, and whatever it is you tell yourself when you go to those dark places, it'll all be about you. And then the minute you give in, the devil, who has been trying to sell you this bill of goods, the minute you give in, he jumps over the table and begins to accuse you. So the minute you do it, he just starts whispering at you and you go, oh, I can't believe you did that. You're horrible. You're a terrible person. You're a horrible Christian. God doesn't forgive you, and you don't really belong to the family. And now you start wondering if maybe you're just a fake cousin. Now you start wondering if maybe you're just a fake uncle. Now you're unsure again. You've been accused and you've been attacked and something's been chipping away at the stuff inside of you and now you're not even sure if you belong to the thing anymore because of all the bad things you've done. And what's required to come against that is faith. It says the shield of faith. So it's not easy to believe that you've been forgiven. In fact, it's like really tough. Your faith is like a muscle, yes? Your faith is a muscle. And like any muscle, when you work it out and you exercise it, it gets bigger and it gets stronger. Now, some of you guys, you know, if you wanted to go start working out, like if I wanted to go become a bodybuilder, I couldn't just walk right over to the place where the big guys are, right? I couldn't roll. There's guys in a gym somewhere right now bench pressing a Buick, you know? I don't know, but they're in there, you know, pushing up incredible amounts of weight. I couldn't just walk up like one of them and get on the bench. I mean, I wouldn't be able to move that thing an inch. I'd have to start over in the ladies section with the 2.5-pound dumbbells, right? And maybe I could graduate up to the 5-pounders at some point, but you can't just jump into that. Some of you, like, you're struggling with matters of faith that are on the front end of this. Does God exist? Is the devil real? Is sin real? Like, are these concepts I can bank on? Does this matter? You're asking some of those big macro level questions. You're just getting started in your faith. The great news is, and this is so cool, all you need is just a little bit of faith to come into God's family. All you need is just a little bit of faith. It doesn't take, you don't have to have bodybuilder faith. You don't have to bench, you don't have to go through. Some of you got some, like, bench pressing a Buick faith. Some of you are out there like, some of you are going through things that are so excruciating and so difficult. And your attitude is so good. And other people are looking at you and going, I don't know how she does it. I don't know how he gets through it. You're not looking at like, what you're looking at is somebody who's been working out. You're looking at somebody who's been, you marvel at the weight that they're lifting. You're looking at someone who is strong in the Lord. You're looking at someone who knows there's a bigger source of strength. You're looking at someone who's been trusting God in small things and now can trust him in big things. And it's no small thing to believe you've been forgiven, but that's what God calls you to. In those moments, the devil's, and some of you walked in here today accused. You walked in here today, you had a rough night last night, you had a tough weekend, and you wanted to just get to church because you felt like you wanted to wash some of that bad stuff off of you, and you walked in here accused and feeling down and feeling like you don't belong, like a fake cousin or like somebody who's not really, really a part of the family. And what's required of you now is faith, faith to believe you've been forgiven. That God forgives you. Have faith enough to believe that God forgives you. And when you feel accused, preach to yourself. I won't be there in that moment. Preach to yourself. I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. I'm a real son. I'm a real daughter. I'm not a fake cousin. I'm not a fake uncle. I really am a part of this family. Even when I screw up, even when I've done wrong, even when I go back to that sin that I've gone back to a million times, God still loves me. You preach that to yourself, and you'll be holding up the shield of faith. And those fiery arrows will just bounce right off of you. And you jokers that are firing arrows at each other, don't even get me started. We accuse each other sometimes because we forget we're adopted. Because we forget we don't have a platform to stand on. Because we forget we have no righteousness of our own. We forget that all righteousness is God's righteousness and all of our strength is God's strength. And so once in a while we lose ourselves and we start making fun of another or judging another or ostracizing another or making much of the sin of another. And there's no place for that here. No place for that in this church or any church. This is what Paul's kind of teaching us. Our battle is not supposed to be with each other. It's with an external enemy. And then he says this, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is going to sound like super preacher stuff, but I'm just going to hit you with this, okay? Read your Bible. There it is, okay? Read your Bible. Now, some of you, that's new, right? For some of you, like, I've never owned a Bible, don't have a Bible. You got a smartphone, you got an app, however you're doing it. Listen, you don't have to read gobs of it. You don't need to read multiple chapters of it. You don't have to swallow whole books at a time. And please don't try to open it cover to cover and read it like a novel. You'll never make it through Leviticus, okay? You gotta start somewhere, and here's where you start. If you're new, if you've never read the Bible before, if that's a whole new concept, it's not that hard. You're gonna start in the book of Psalms, which if you do this with a Bible and open it, it'll just land in the middle. That's the book of Psalms. Or the Gospel of John, and you read a few verses, and you take it in. You read a few verses, excuse me, and you take it in, and you pray as you go, and you ask God to whisper to you, and pretty soon you'll go, I'm reading the Bible. And you'll go, I'm like riding a bike. You'll go, oh my gosh, I'm riding a bike. You know, and you'll start reading it, and it'll come home to you, and you'll be equipping yourself for what comes next. And finally, pray in the Spirit. Oh, wait, one more thing. Hang on. I got to tell you about what's not in the armor of God. This is big. Did you notice in all of the armor, there's like one enormous section of your body that's not covered? It's your back. There's nothing in the armor of God that covers your back. For that, we need each other. That's why we want every single one of you to join a community group. It's why we want you to connect with other people, because we need to be watching each other's backs, not accusing each other, not stabbing each other, caring for each other and covering each other's backs and praying for one another. And finally, in verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles, insiders and outsiders alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I'll keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. I could echo that prayer not for the chains part, but for the pray for me too part. Man, pray for me. Would you guys just pray for me? I don't mean right now, but you know, pray for me. Right now would be fine too, but pray for me. Our staff, Pastor Matt, our worship leaders, our band, our you'd be amazed at what a small number of people there is running this place, and we need your prayers. And then Paul, I love Paul. Paul concludes, and he's like, just pray for me that I'll have boldness, you know? And he reminds them that he's in prison, which is interesting because he knows this letter is going to be read by the Church of Ephesus. He knows this letter is going to be circulated throughout all churches in Asia Minor, and he doesn't ask for a prison break. He doesn't say, listen, one of you guys pull some strings. One of you guys go talk to the governor. Somebody please, is anyone working on securing my release? No. No, it's just, hey, could you guys just pray that I'll be bold enough to speak the truth when I have the opportunity to do that? I would like to have faith like that someday. And finally, he concludes, peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. And here ends the book of Ephesians. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We do. And we thank you that we've been invited into this grand narrative, this enormous story. And we thank you that you are filling all things everywhere with yourself. May we be flooded with light. May we live lives worthy of our calling. And give us wisdom to know that we are not going to do this unopposed, that it's going to be difficult. And Father, when those moments come, give us faith enough to endure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.